We're in a series tonight called Finding the Will of God for Our Lives. I started reading out of Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. I'm going to go back there because to me this is an amazing story. And I don't think it got a lot of the attention it should have got over the years. It says this, "And as he," Jesus, "was sitting out on his journey." I love, like I said, I made reference to that a couple weeks ago. It said journey. Jesus was about to start this journey, this great thing. So that he was sitting out on a journey, a man ran up to him, knelt before him and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, Jesus loved him, and Jesus said to him. Now, like I said, we're not going to be able to get to those three statements tonight, but what an amazing 3 points to highlight that we're going to get to. When this guy came to Jesus and said, "What do I got to do?" I love Jesus' response. The Bible says he stopped and he looked at him first. Then he loved him, and then he spoke to him. They say, and that will be, I'm saying, when we get to the point where I said, that's amazing, but that's a couple weeks off. I'm ready to get there now. And he said to him, "You lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have to give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This guy's title, like in the New King James, when you're reading it, the title, subtitle, the New King James breaks these stories down into titles, like, for example, the adulterous woman. When you read the woman at the well, the King James puts above the title the adulterous woman. You know, I always had a problem with the King James versions, the New King James titles they put on there. For example, like it says the prodigal son, because it's like they always put the wrong title for the end of the story. In other words, yes, when it came to the prodigal son, that's what he started out as. But that's not what he ended up as. He ended up as the favored son that came home and found God's favor. But yet, as we tell it, the same thing with the adulterous woman, the woman at the well. She was the one that Jesus specifically sought out. The Bible says he went there at that time of day because he knew there was a meeting coming. In other words, but we call it adulterous woman. But really, in the matter of fact, she was the woman that Jesus hunted down to change her life. And she was used mightily, the Bible says, to turn that city around for God. So it could have been the most mighty evangelistic woman in the Bible is what you could have put up there. But, you know, the King James seems to go on the negative side, except this guy. This guy in the New King James Version, when it breaks it out into subtitles of each story, it says he was a rich young ruler. And looking at how the New King James, right, like I say, the titles they put above there is not out of the original canon. It's not scripture, but it's, you know what I'm saying, it's the translation breakdown for people to be able to read through. You would think it's positive at first, but with the negative slant the New King James Version always put on things, makes me think, all right, well, what is this really trying to say about this guy? And I believe what this guy was saying is this. Here's a guy that was completely successful in life. But if you look at the end of the story, like you do the other stories the New King James puts the title on, the name doesn't end up with the meaning. The Bible says he walked away sad. So here in his title, it says he looked successful, but the truth of the story was he was not. He was miserable. He was sad. He was broken. He looked at life and said, you know what? There's got to be something more. And he never was fulfilled in that search for something more. The Bible says here, it says that this guy was obviously successful, obviously good at business, obviously had a place of position, so he was a success in life. But the thing about it was, it wasn't enough. He still found himself running to Jesus saying, what else would I have to do? And one thought pattern you can say is this, to be fulfilled. Because the truth of the matter is, you can be extremely successful. You can be extremely rich. You can be extremely good at what you do. You can be extremely respected. You can be extremely successful in every arena of life and still be completely unfulfilled and feel like you're lacking something in this world. And the truth is, most Christians are that way. Most Christians have this eager, burning desire in them for more. So what is that more? And that's what we're going to be answering over the next several weeks in here is, what is that more? How do I get that more? And how, I mean, because is God just a cruel God that he would put us living this life that we never really get fulfillment? We're always longing for. We feel like the donkey with the carrot hanging in front of us, that we're pulling the cart and we're pulling the cart and we're pulling the cart, but we never get the carrot. Is that God's intentions of a cruel joke? And absolutely not. God never intended. Like, you know, how many guys have ever heard this statement? He wants his cake and he wants to eat it too. Well, this was always my thought pattern. Why would you want cake if you couldn't eat it? I mean, it doesn't make any sense to put that in that terminology. But yet, a lot of times we settle in the understanding of that. You know, saying this desire or this drive in us to have more is just going to be part of what life is. And so God obviously is a cruel master or a cruel, because if he would just tell us what our purpose was, that would fulfill us. We would do it. But the truth is, most of us never find it, because the truth is, we're just usually looking for it in the wrong place. And so over the next couple of weeks, we're going to break that down. There's a saying that says this, that says, if life is a cruel joke, I don't get it. And most people feel that way. If life was a joke, they don't get it, because it's like people go through their whole life looking for purpose, meaning, significance. There has to be more than just pulling this cart, trying to get a carrot that we see dangling. And that's what a lot of us feel like when we read the Word of God. It's like everything in the Scripture is written for the future. And I want you to know something. Everything in the Scripture is not written in the future. Every promise in the Bible is for you to have now. For it says, faith is now. Faith is now is what the Word of God says. It says now. So we're not supposed to be, you know, pulling this cart under this rat race or living it. God has a specific purpose and a plan. And to start the process of finding it, really what you have to do is answer three questions, because there are three major questions that, number one, keep us from seeing this. And like I say, over the next 5 weeks, we're going to be going after these things. But tonight, we're going to go after three major questions. Number one is, why am I alive? Most of us have not come to the terminology of even being able to answer that one question. Why am I alive? Why am I here? Am I really an object of the Big Bang Theory? You know, did an explosion happen in space? And when the explosion happened in space, you know, two meteorites hit together, sparking together these little cells that came together, and they grew into a pond. If that question can't be answered in your life, you might as well be an atheist, or you might as well be an evolutionist, or anything else. Because the number one question that every believer must come to terms with before they can go any further in life and in a direction of life is there a reason why I'm here? In other words, it's the question of existence. The next question is, does my life really matter? When I get up every morning and I go to bed every night, does it really matter? Does it really make a difference? A lot of times, you know what I'm saying, we get up and we want people to matter to us because we don't understand that there is an answer. And that's the question of significance. And then there's the last question is there a purpose? Is there a purpose? Or is it random? Is it by chance? Is there a purpose? Was there actually an intention? Thought patterns put together, a plan done on purpose for me to be able to be here and for me to be who I am and the way I am to be able to accomplish things. Because if those three questions aren't answered, you're never going to accomplish the will of God for your life. The first step in accomplishing the will of God, or even knowing the will of God, is to be able to answer those questions. Why am I here? Why am I alive? So we're going to jump into those just for a few minutes. Usually the way that people approach that question in life is, why am I alive? Is they come up with three different approaches. They get in their mind that there is an approach called the mystical approach, is the way it's been taught. And what is the mystical approach? It's like the Star Wars mentality, or the Matrix mentality, or there is a hokey pokey thing going on out there that, you know, saying you really have no control over, but really it all comes back down to knowing from inside of who you are. And the truth is this. The mystical approach of this is, how do I find my purpose in life? The answer to all of those mystical things is they say, look within yourself. Just look within yourself. If you look within yourself, you'll find your purpose and your direction. But that's not true. Although you were created with design purpose, you will not find the answers within yourself. Now, you were inside yourself, the Bible says, that you were created with specific abilities. But if you look inside within yourself trying to find the purpose to your life, all you're going to find is more and more and more unanswered questions. Because inside yourself is not why you like the things you like or why you're passionate about the things you're passionate about. Now, the passion is there, but the reason is not. Because you weren't created by you. You weren't put together by you. You weren't planned by you. So the mystical are like Luke, they say, listen to the force, Luke. If you're trying to look and listen to something on the inside of you, you're not going to find your answers. Because you weren't, it's like this thing right here. Now, I figure every man in here knows what this is. And CeCe may. I asked Jennifer today if she's actually been with me when I have used this tool several times. And I said, Jennifer, do you know what this is? And she said, no. So she started making all these random guesses. She said, oh, it's a pocket knife. It's a unique razor cutter knife, and you can use the cutter. She started getting, and she didn't get any of them right. Now, let me ask you a question about the show. Raise your hand if you know what this is. See, most men know what it is. Alan uses one probably on a daily basis. All right? So most of us in here don't know what this is. Now, but I'll tell you, it's a tool. It was created to use. So if you don't know what it is, the best way to figure out what it is that you can either go talk to the person that invented it, because he invented it for a specific reason and to do a specific job. So that's one way to find out what it is. And another way is to read the manual that came with it. And if you read the manual that came with it, somewhere in the process of explaining how to use it, you will find the way and the purpose it is for. I tell you, it's a copper cutter. If you don't know why, it cuts copper. And if you got a copper tubing, it rolls down, you put it on there and you spin the end to where it don't crimp the copper. And then this little thing right here is made to clean out the what they call the copper boogers so it don't get in the Freon or in the compressor, right? So if every one of you guys have got a air conditioner at your house, more than likely, this was used to put it there. How many of you guys are glad you got an air conditioner at your house? That's right. And so you can understand the value of this tool. But see, the thing about it, not knowing what it was by looking at it, you would not have gotten. So you probably would have tried it. You know what they say? If you don't know what the purpose of a tool is, it means that tool gets misused. And so if you were to have this tool, and it was the only tool you had, and you had no idea what the purpose of it was, you would be using it for things around your house. You had no idea what it was used for, and the truth is, it would be misused. And that's what happens to a lot of us as Christians, because we've even been taught in churches, how do I find the purpose of who I am? What am I alive for? Look within yourself. And so we start looking at the inside of us, and what we see on the inside of us are a lot of things that we have no idea how to use what's on the inside of us. We don't know how to use the giftings. We don't know how to use the talents. We don't know how to use the desires. We don't know how to use it. And so anything that you don't understand the purpose for, you will misuse it. And so that's what happens with all kind of relationships. People that don't know why you have a relationship with this person, you'll misuse and abuse that person. If you know, like in marriage relationships, if you don't know why God put a husband and man together, what happens is men usually begin to abuse women and women usually begin to abuse men. And because any tool that you don't know the purpose to gets abused. And so us having to look within ourselves, trying to figure out why I'm here, why am I alive, and we think the answer is within ourselves, the way we were designed, or so we start trying to find out all these, what happens is we begin to get to use. So you begin to abuse your talents, and you begin to use your giftings, and you begin to abuse your energy, and you begin to use all the, and the thing about it, it leaves you worn out and usually broken. I have, honestly, the reason why I have this tool is because I have broken many of these. And the reason why I've broken many of them is because I used them for things they shouldn't have been used for. I've used them for a hammer, and it'll break every time. I mean, I've used them for a pair of pliers trying to hold on something to turn it. I broke them every time because it was never meant for that. But I've always had to go back and buy another one when I went to work with plumbing or copper because it's about the only thing that'll do it. It's the best tool for the job. You're the best tool for the job. Think about it is, if you don't go to the Creator that created you, and you don't read the manual that was given to you about you, then what happens is you don't know how to use you, because the answer is not from within. The answer is not, you can't look, it's not a mystical thing. You can't look inside of who you are and figure out what you're to do. You're to look at God, because He is number one, the Creator. So why am I alive? Because He put me here. Now, that question alone, answers a thousand other questions, but that's where it's all got to start. Why am I here? Because there is a God, and He put me here. And He's much wiser than me. He's much more knowledgeable than me. He's much greater than me. And the Bible says He knew my end from my beginning. Meaning this, He knew what your purpose was before you were ever born, the Bible says. He knew you before you were ever born. And so He knew, just like when this inventor of this tool came up to a piece of copper. I don't know how they cut copper before they used these. Do you know, Alan? That's all I've ever used to. I mean, I've tried to use hacksaws and mess the job up. I've tried to use sawzall and mess the job up. Usually what happens to a piece of copper for an air conditioner line when I use a sawzall becomes scrap. Because it tears it up. But like I said, I don't know how they used to do it before him, but for some reason, some point in time, there was a guy that found this problem and said, you know what? This is such a big issue, and it's going to affect that. I need to invest some time into creating something specifically for that project. Now, it's not like a hammer. Hammers can be used for many things. Hammers can pry nails, pull nails. Hammers can bust boards, be used as a demo tool, a building tool. But this is a specifically built tool for a specific job. And the thing about it is, somebody saw a problem that other people were facing, and they invented this tool for it. When God saw a problem, the Bible says He sits above time. He can see the beginning of time, and He can see the end of time, all at the same time. And that's amazing, because He's not affected by time. He actually lives in time, but controls time. It's not like we do. See, eternity to Him, He knows you already in the eternity's end. And that can blow your mind when you try to think about the way God looks at time. And so, especially when it comes to areas of faith and things like that, they think God's limited to time too. You got to understand, if God needs to change something in your yesterday to fix something in your tomorrow, He will do it. And He has the ability to do it. And He will do it even to the point where your faith, even to the point where your life, it will all work together for good, and you can't stop it. So, like when, quick testimony, we're running out of time, have to go real fast, but here's the time. My dad, I don't know if you've heard this testimony on this end, but my dad grew up and his dad died, and he never knew his dad. But it was when he did know his dad, up to the age of 9, my grandfather was a very abusive man. You know, I hated my dad. My dad grew up with this major complex of, why can't I ever be loved? And so, I mean, it really devastated my dad for years, to the point where he's still receiving healing from that rejection and that lie the enemy set up on him when he was 9. But my dad, when he got saved, he got radically saved. And when he got saved, after being saved many years, he came to a point where what he wanted was, he said, God, I see in the scripture, your word says that as if I'm saved, my whole house would be saved. He's saying, God, if that's really true, then I can believe that my daddy was saved too. Because you knew I was going to get saved in my life. And though his dad had died many years before, my dad decided to believe God, and that God was in control, and God had a purpose, and God knew it all, and God wasn't bound by time. Now you say, well, Cricket, that's really far out. That's why it don't happen your way. Because it says, be it unto you according to your faith. Thing about it is, Bible says God can see your end from your beginning. That means He looks over the span of time, and days and now don't affect Him. He can reach into tomorrow, and He can reach into a year ago. He's not bound by that. And how do you understand that? You don't. One day when we get to heaven, we will. But my dad started believing that and standing on it. But long story short, several years after my dad was saved, we were living in East Camden, right beside the parsonage built right beside the old East Camden church. Somebody knocked on the door, and it was an old lady. And she had a Bible in her hand. And she told my dad, she said, "Brother Jerry," she said, I've been knowing I needed to come tell you this, and I got to tell you this. She said, "I want you to have this." And she handed the Bible to my dad, and she said, "This was your father's Bible." What happened to my dad's dad was he was walking across the field. He was a very mean man. He has a very bad reputation. Nobody crossed him. He was a tough, hard guy. And he said, 2 weeks before your dad dropped dead of a heart attack, he moved in with me and my husband. And for 2 weeks, every night, he would go to his room and we would hear him crying out to God as he would read his Bible and he would cry out for forgiveness. So years after my dad had come to the Lord, my dad was in his 30s when all that took place. That man died when my dad was 9. God was able to keep his word, even if he had to reach back in time and rewrite whatever had to happen there. What you got to understand is this, man, why am I here? Because there is somebody that is so powerful involved in this thing that if they have to reach back, they have the power even over time. The Bible says in Genesis, or the Bible says in the Old Testament that there was a king that was about to lose a battle and he knew he was supposed to. The purpose of his life was to win that battle. God stopped the sun just so he could win that battle. See, that's how being. So why are you alive? What you got to come to terms is this, that there's a God that is so powerful, so mighty, and so wise that he put you here on purpose. And so understanding that, no, it's not a mystical thing. Now, we got to hit these other. We got so many. But some people think you know, why am I alive? They want to go on the self-help approach. And what the most, there's thousands. You go into Barnes and Nobles and look on the self-help aisle, and there's hundreds of them. How many of you guys have read self-help books? Now, I've read most self-help books say like this. They say, you want to find the purpose in life? First thing you do is you got to find one, or you got to make one up, or you got to grab on to someone else's. In other words, it's you just go randomly trying to get it. And then once you get it, what you got to do is maybe you can dream one up. Or then once you dream one up, then you got to set a goal. Once you set a goal, then you start looking at what you're good at and help that goal fit into that. They got all these steps in self-help. But the truth of the matter is, if we could help ourselves, we would have. Let me ask you, if you could have already fixed your situations and your circumstances, wouldn't you have done that? Absolutely. So anyway, you're not alive, and no amount of self-help is going to give you a purpose in that. It's not up to you, is what I'm saying. It's not up to you to be able to figure out what your purpose is, because you did not design you. You were played no part in creating who you are. As a matter of fact, there was an inventor, there was a creator, and he said, I have a specific job and a specific tool at a specific time. Have you ever thought of what the purpose and randomness of why weren't we born in the dark ages? Why aren't we born in the space ages? Why are we born now? And why were people, let you tell you this. Jesus was on time. Absolutely born on time. To the point that there were 1,600 different prophecies written about the time that he was going to be born. But do you understand? Well, that's Jesus. No, you got to understand that the whole lineage. Why is Matthew 1 got so-and-so, but got so-and-so, and so? Because what he's doing is saying every single person there was born on time. And they had nothing to do with it on their own. There is a creator involved in that thing. And he put them there on purpose. And the purpose they were there before him was to get to him. Now, the reason all of us are here after is because we were put here to do something for him. And so understand, you know, self-help project. Then there's the philosophical, somebody say that word, approach. And that says, you know, we just need to guess or let whatever be, and we don't have anything to play in this, and what'll happen will happen, and, you know, nobody can stop the will of God. Let me tell you something. Yes, you can. For you, you can. No one can stop the will of God from being done. He's that powerful. But for you, you can. Do you think it was the will of God for Adam to bite that apple? Why did it happen? You think it was? How come? See, I don't believe it was the will of God because God told him don't. And I don't believe he would have said that if he didn't. He said, God did said don't do it, but he chose to do it anyway. So can I stop God for the will of God in me? Absolutely. If I choose to quit living for him today, then I have the ability to walk away from the will of God for my life. This is what they say about a graveyard. A graveyard is the biggest area of lost potential in the world. Because people that have gotten there and didn't accomplish what God put them here to do, it was just lost purpose. Now, did it stop God? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because the thing about it is, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord God. God can work around our mistakes and God can work around. And the truth of the matter is, God can work around you. So who pays the price? You do and I do. If I choose to live my life as a mundane life and I don't choose to pursue what God put me here for, God don't miss out. I do. I do. This is where the Bible says it. The Bible says this. The Bible says that if I don't praise God, then he will even put a rock in a tree to do what I was created here to do. That's what it says. Yes, sir. No, I would have messed up way before you got here. If Adam didn't get us put out, I was down the line, and I promise I was going to blow it too. So somebody was going to mess up somewhere, I promise. If they didn't get to me, I would have took care of it for you and me, okay? But the thing about it is this. I get the choice to choose whether or not I'm going to accomplish what God created me to do. He's willing for me to do it. He's able for me to do it. The thing about it is, am I willing and will I be able? And so we're out of time. We have 4 minutes. We'll hit this right here. So what is there and why am I alive? It's the question of existence. It's because everything in this world was created by God and for God. Let's answer that. Why am I alive? The first question is this. All right, let's go to John 1, 4, 7, and 9. No, I'm sorry. Let's go to Jeremiah. Go to Jeremiah 28, 18, Joe. We'll read these couple, two scriptures. And I'm reading now the TEV version because it says it cool, but you can just pull it up. I'll just read it to you. It says this. Jeremiah, the prophet God, says, why was I born? Was it only to have trouble and sorrow, to end my life in disgrace? A prophet, used mightily by God, wrote, why was I born? So that question of existence even hit men usually mighty by God, because the truth of the matter is this. The devil wants us, the enemy wants you to not realize that you were created by God. And if you weren't created by God, if we were just somehow God was involved in this thing, but he wasn't Lord over this thing, that just by random we just ended up here. Yeah, God is real, but he's not concerned, involved, and personally implementing parts of our life. Then even Jeremiah said, why am I alive? You got to come to terms with this. I'm alive for this reason. I was created to be loved by God, number one. And it says it in 1 John 4, 7, 8. It says, love comes from God, for God is love. He showed how much he loved. This is the NLT. He showed how much he loved us by sending his only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. Ephesians 1, 4 says this. Long before God laid the foundations, he had us in mind. And he settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. And then Jeremiah 31:3 says this, I have loved you with everlasting love. So why am I alive? You were created, you were put here to be loved by God. And you have to understand how big that love is. That love is so big that it overshadows any mistake you've ever made. Like I said, God knew you're in from your beginning. You remember years ago, I wrote a sermon called Reverse Engineering. You know what I'm saying? He started at the end and he created us backwards. And that's why we're a work in progress to finally get to what, because we were reverse engineered. But he says he knew our end from our beginning. That means this. If he knew our end from our beginning, that means every time I blew it, it did not catch him off guard. Do you understand what that says? I mean, every time I messed up, He didn't go, oh, I can't believe he just did that. Now let me rewrite the whole thing. It says he knew our end from our beginning. So that meant he was not surprised when you blew it. And you blowing it did not change the will of God and the design he put on you. And so taking into consideration that you were created by God that is in control of it all. He knew it all and he's involved in it all and he's a part of it all. Him being that, you have not messed up the plan of God for your life. Or you wouldn't be in here today. And so understanding that God is that means this. That every day from now on that you wake up, there is a reason for it. Most of us don't come to that point. Most of us still think, God, I wish you'd show me my reason. I wish you'd show me my purpose. I wish you would show. And then what happens is this. You miss every one of them. The Bible clearly says this. David said, this is the day that the Lord has made. When we begin to get up and look for the one that created that day, you will find the purpose in it. Real quick, question number 2 is this. Does my life matter? It's the question of significance. Yes. Yes, your life matters. But the thing about it is because we don't understand the different levels that you can actually live in life, a lot of us never allow our life to matter. There are 3 different levels you can choose to live. There's the survival level. And some people choose to just live on that one. They get up every day just trying to survive. They try to get up and pay the bills. They get up and try to get along with their wife. They try to just get enough money to eat. They live on a survival level. God didn't intend you to live on a survival level. Because the Bible says he will supply all your needs. In other words, just to survive means all you're doing is getting up and trying to get your needs met. And the truth of the matter is, most of us are living on emotional survival. We can't get past the hurts and the things that we're into. So we can't ever get off this level because that's all we hear, feel, and see. But there is another level. There is a success level. And, you know, there are people that can reach the success level that never accomplish the will of God for their life. Said this story in the Bible we read says it. He was a rich young ruler. He was a success. But still yet, he was completely unfulfilled and unhappy and could not find his purpose. To the point, it says, he walked away sad. God never intended for you to just survive. He never intended for you to just be a success. You may be extremely good at what you do. But there is more to what you do. There's more to what you have. The last level is significance. You know, I'm telling you, you don't have to have a, Jesus knew this being the answer. That's why he said, go give all your money away. If you go give all your money away and you'll follow me, your life will have more purpose and more meaning than it ever had with your position and your money and your success. But see, because he had built a life of living on just trying to be a success, he built his life and it put a ceiling on him from being able to be significant. But over the next 5 weeks, we're going to take the step from being survivalist to being significant. In other words, you not just trying to be a success. See, a lot of us think if I can just get enough money, or if I can just get the right house, or if I can just get the right job, or if I can get, then we make it to a level of success and we'll be happy. This story tells us that will not work. You will not be fulfilled and you will not be happy because you were not created for that. Now, can you do it? Yes, there's very rich and very successful people all over this planet that are very unfulfilled and very unhappy. And that's not the God's plan for you to understand your significance. Because just working and accomplishing, told you, this is the last word, we're dismissed. Back in the World War II, when Germany was taking and building death camps, the Nazis were taking the Jews and putting them in them death camps, and they would giving them projects and jobs. And in one specific city, they put them in this city in this death camp, and their job was to get up every day and work the sewage plants. And so they would get up and they would work the sewage plants and get up and work the sewage plants. And this continued for several years. And then as the war went on, America and the other Allied forces came and they bombed the city and they bombed the sewage plants, destroying it. Now all of these Holocaust victims were there. And their purpose to get up every day was taken from them. Their conditions hadn't changed. They still lived in a death camp. So what the Nazi soldiers began to do was had them pick up the rubble from the sewage plant and move it from one side of the death camp to the other. The next day, they would have them get up and move the same rubble from that side of the death camp to the other. And the Nazis thought just keeping them busy would be enough to keep them contained. But what began to happen were, without actually having a legitimate purpose, or they began to look at just moving rubble as pointless, they began to find ways to die. Numbers began to increase of people trying to climb the fence knowing they would be shot. They would actually have some of the survivors jump on other the Nazi soldiers knowing that the minute they did, they would be killed. They had the largest suicide rate begin to come up. And in that Nazi camp, they didn't have to do the gas chambers or the firing squads. They were killing themselves. The purpose had been taken out. A lot of us get up and go to work. Get up and go to work. We just moved this pile of rubble from one side. We go to work and take this check from here, and we take it to the mailbox, and we put it in envelopes, and we mail it there. And then we do it day after day after day after day. And we wonder why so many of us get such self-destroying behavior. Why alcohol gets in such families and destroys them the way they do. Why drugs get in such families. Why is such self-destructing behavior? Because the purpose of what you're doing is out. You just can't work and keep working and keep working and keep working and expect to get fulfilled or be happy. You have to understand there is significance to your life. And the way you find significance, we'll jump to the end of it, is understand that every one of your days are planned and were purposed by God. The Bible says in Psalms that David said, Lord, teach me to number my days. In Psalms 139, he says that before you were even born, every single one of your days were written in a book. That means there's actually a book in heaven that has every one of you. And it's not a fiction story. This was a designed plan. And the thing about it is, until we find the significance, that longing, that desire of wanting more that you have right now, that you're going to wake up in the morning with, of thinking, what in the world, I got to go to work again, is going to be there until it comes to a point where you just give up. But the thing about it is, it doesn't have to end that way. There is significance, and you were born for significance. We want to stop right there. And over the next 5 weeks, we're going to answer five principles or five key things in your life that I'm telling you, if you'll come in with your eyes wide open, you will walk out of here and know what my purpose and my significance is. But I want to pray right now over this, because yes, I just believe at this point that there are people that have been struggling with not knowing that God is really involved in your situation. So you think you're just moving this pile of rubble every day and you're having to do it on your own. And the enemy's got you to a point where you think that there's really no reason to expect God to do anymore because he's already let it be this way this long already. This is the reason why you were created. I got to find my right page of notes. This is the reason. I didn't bring that one. But the Bible says this. You were created for his purpose. Why am I alive? Why was I created? There's a scripture that says you were created for his purpose. And that purpose, he don't mean to keep hidden. He don't mean to keep. But what is, when we look for it in the wrong places, when we look for it on the inside of us, or we look for it on the outside of it, and we don't look to him for it, what happens is we miss it altogether. But when you understand that you're created for his purpose, everything you're going through right now will begin to change. Because this is what the Bible says. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord. And then what's the next part of that scripture? Who are called according to his purpose. You were on purpose. You're in purpose. And the thing about it is your purpose will come when you get it and you start looking for the purpose in God. And so you say, how do you do that? The more you know him, the more you understand him. And when you understand him, and the more you know him, then it's like his character and your purpose is revealed. And that's what we're going to take off on with next week. How do I know God to where I can see myself in Him? Because when He looks at us, He can see Himself in us. When we look at God, we can see ourselves in Him. We'll start that process. Like I said, there's five steps we're going to be taking on this week. But let me pray. Father God, I just ask you right now to begin to speak to the lie that the enemy has been speaking to those that says, I don't matter. I ask you right now, Father God, to begin to speak the truth into the lives that says, God doesn't care. I ask you right now to begin to speak to the lie inside of those where the enemy has been saying that God is allowing this and that He's not going to do anything about it. Because your word says, this will turn for my good. Because I was created on purpose, for a purpose, and I am called to your purpose. As we dedicate our lives to accomplish what you've put us here to do, not just exist, not just survive, and not just succeed, but be significant, Father, I thank you that fulfillment begins to release in the name of Jesus. Amen.